is The Sea. Looking Glass. Brandy, you're a fine girl. You appreciate that. Clearly, if you're a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which hopefully our next correspondent is in a major way, of course. That's based in Antwerp in the joys of Belgium, Natasha Armstrong. No, she's not online as yet, because otherwise, you know, we would have been a big build-up and we would have had the ident and other matters to work through that. We've also hopefully got Graham Harper, our BAFTA award-winning director, who'll be talking about the state of the media from the British perspective. And Phil Nearness, as mentioned, should be around. Just checking out where Phil is. According to Chilpack Hollywood, which is, of course, his weekly podcast, he's making his way to Dallas.
Mm.
No, it's sort of Texas base on that system.
To find out who shot JR.
Now, there's a reference that I don't think even Ben would actually manage to. I mean, you know, that little word, the who shot JR, does it have any meaning for you?
I have heard of it. That is all I can say.
When you go down to London tomorrow,
yes,
to meet your parents,
yes,
again, not just for the first time,
ask
obviously
them.
You'll be too emotional in this case of who is that?
Hello, Mum. Yeah, could you tell me who
precisely? Then you can actually sort of ask, who shot JR?
Okay.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now.
The judge
now,
said the 59-year-old preyed
and
on.
I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. To explain, when I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Change, just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree, but it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
The road to becoming a midweek drivette can be the road less traveled, a bit like traveling from Nottingham to Lincoln in the middle of winter. Thank goodness Natasha Armstrong has stayed the course and earned her stripes as a midweek drivette for the 21st century.
That's why she's in Antwerp. Hello, Natasha Armstrong!
Hello!
Yay! Yes, it's fair to say, gentlemen, that last week when I opened the blue envelope that Natasha had presented me with, I was almost in tears at the end. It's probably one of the most emotional moments I've had for quite some time. In fact, it couldn't, you know, after that, what was the point of going to the actual school ball when you actually received that sort of, it's wonderful. And a genuine sort of thank you from the bottom of my broadcasting heart there. Natasha, what are you doing in Antwerp? Are you sort of sorting out the Belgium situation, the Belgium challenge? Are you simply availing yourself of chocolates? Or is it just a case of, no, I'm psyching myself up for the next stage of my global domination tour?
Unfortunately, I'm not dealing with the Brexit negotiations, so I'm sorry. I'm over with my boyfriend's family. My boyfriend's originally Belgian, and we're visiting his family in Antwerp and taking in the lovely sunshine.
So. Christmas time, she's in Dallas, and in the summer, she's in Antwerp.
And in Japan. What is this all about?
Ben, you call those shots exactly. You know, yeah. There we are. We have, for the first time in many, many a moon, an all-male studio cast here with yourself, Ben, and Andy Carr, and myself. And there we are. Off she goes to do all sorts of Antwerp-y things. Don't worry, dear listener. We hopefully shall be back for the Newark Book Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I certainly will.
Yeah, exactly. You can also thank Andy for the formally, because I never actually shared with you, Andy, the reason Natasha was unable to actually attend the screening of Contact, mm-hmm. which she could have again thanked you personally for all the Belfast pub tips and all the rest of it.
Yes.
You can do that again. It was all down to waiting for a delivery of groceries.
Ah, well, these things happen, you know.
Exactly.
On the pub note, have you had a goose yet, Natasha?
Yes, we went over the Easter, and it was just we did check in some of the pubs.
No, not Belfast. We've done that already. Since you're in Antwerp and you're in Belgium, have you had a goose? It's a delicious, deliberately sour beer of about 6% with loads of effervescent bubbles that just burst on the tongue. And it's just the most wonderful thing to have on a sunny day. If your boyfriend's originally from Antwerp, ask him for a goose. It's spelled G-E-U-Z-E. And the last time I was in Brussels, I spent the entire time mispronouncing it. Until one waiter decided to correct me and tap me on the shoulder and said, it's actually pronounced goose, not goosey. This is why we don't know what you're ordering. But I strongly recommend that as a little tipple on a sunny day.
A type of lambic, a Belgian beer made by blending young 1-year-old and old 2 to 3-year-old lambics, which is then bottled for a second fermentation because the young lambics are not fully fermented. Oh, mm-hmm. Nice, cute little young lambics. The blended beer contains fermentable sugars, which allow a second fermentation to occur.
How sciencey.
Mm. You do well.
Very sciencey. Yeah.
William Sitwell would have been proud of that.
On all of my trips.
Sorry, what was that, Natasha? You did what on? You should take what on all your trips?
I just need to take Andy on all of my trips.
Yeah,
I'm sure he won't complain.
Happy to oblige. No problem at all.
There you go.
Beer connoisseur.
It's a possibility for a career shift.
Yes.
Admittedly, becoming official companion to Natasha Armstrong on all various trips. Yeah, exactly. And then it's cool.
The doctor of alcohol. That's what it is.
How's your Japanese?
Itchy knee.
Nice.
Yes. Very good.
Sort something through. Don't worry, dear listener.
I've got an itchy knee too.
Hi. Anyway, Domo Morigato, Mr. Roboto, which is a wonderful sort of tune from back in the day. But still, how long have you been in Antwerp, Natasha?
We arrived Monday evening and we're leaving tomorrow about midday-ish. So just a short trip.
Yeah.
But it's been nice just to get around everyone.
Very good. And then you're back in the Nottingham region, and there is certainly the companies that will be making use of your services will be delighted that Armstrong is back in town, really, for at least a few months before you head off into all sorts of other places.
I've got a short trip to Berlin next week, and then I'm back at work.
Oh, another trip.
Yes, that's my favourite European city. Berlin's fantastic. I'm sure you'll have a really good time.
I've never been before. Yeah, I'm really excited.
I've never done your role now. You know, we talked about the travel discourse, mm-hmm. creativity paradigm. Where should Natasha be making for in Berlin?
Well, first of all, you should go to Dunkin' Donuts for a donut beside the big spy tower. It's in... I've forgotten the name now. But the big Platz in the middle. After that, I recommend that you go to the largest fetish club in all of Europe. Follow that, by the time you leave, if you go on the Friday, you can party all the way through to the Sunday. And after the Sunday, then you walk out of there, take two lefts, and go to a place called Delicious Donuts, which opens at 6 o'clock in the morning. But you'll have no trouble at all finding anywhere to, for a little bit of R&R, while you're in Berlin.
And let's face it, from Origins of Modern Britain time, we well remember President JF Kennedy going to Berlin and saying, Ich bin ein Berliner.
I am a donut.
Exactly. So,
what about the Jewish memorial? That's quite a good one.
Actually, the war memorials are very much worth doing. The Holocaust memorial, the Jewish memorial, the homosexual memorial as well.
There's a section of the Berlin Wall still up as well.
Section of the Berlin Wall still, well, yeah. Checkpoint Charlie. Yeah. It's a great place for their monuments.
In case you're wondering, the Dunkin' Donuts is number 22 of 68 bakeries in Berlin, and it's number 1,627 of 7,319 places to eat in Berlin.
That's a lot of statistics.
I have to go to number one in Berlin. I think
Alexanderplatz. I remembered it's Alexanderplatz. That's where it is.
Oh. Unter den Linden.
I shall write that down.
It's very important that these things are there. Natasha, you're actually the warm-up act for Graham Harper, who's joining us. Do you have any Robin Hood questions that you'd like us to put to him on your behalf?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Mm. Oh, actually, I'd like to know how he's getting on with his latest ventures, actually, if you could put that to him.
His latest ventures?
More Inside Number 9 stuff.
Inside Number 9. Very good. We've got that written down. Splendid. And Ben, any thoughts or questions from yourself, from Natasha's? I mean, clearly, you know, Natasha, she doesn't get the opportunity to travel up to possibly see the Bramham horse trials.
Yeah, well...
they'll be found innocent.
Question in particular about Antwerp. Out of everywhere you've been in the last couple of days, where's the best place you'd recommend for anyone visiting?
That's a good question. Depends if you're wanting a good day out. I'm probably biased, but I love a good historical building. And if you just get yourself to the Antwerp Central train station, it's gorgeous. There's some really beautiful architecture in there. It's really, really old. And right next to that, there is the old zoo, which is one of the oldest zoos in Europe. And it's really lovely. They've just renovated a lot of it, and it's lovely. And food-wise, the food's always amazing. I everywhere I eat is just the best. If you're going to get yourself some chips and some mayonnaise, I would recommend that being the top of your list. Get yourself some chips and some mayonnaise. Get
Fabulous.
Yourself Antwerp.
Antwerp, of course, capital Provence in the region of Flanders.
Famous for its chips and mayonnaise.
Exact Flanders fish, exactly. And in fact, fields of Flanders, we could actually have chips and mayonnaise. That might have actually caused a battle of...
Not Flanders from Simpsons.
No, different Flanders. Population. Actually, how many would you say are there in Flanders? What's the population, Natasha? Let's just check you out on this one, see how close you get.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to hazard a guess.
Go on, have a guess. It's the last Wednesday midweek drive of May 2017. Have a guess.
Ooh, I think it's quite heavily, densely populated for what it is. Mm-hmm. In the millions, I would say.
Half a million, 510,610. But it's still the most populous city proper in Belgium. The metropolitan area, if you go beyond the city of Antwerp, that actually gets you into 1.2 million people just behind Brussels in terms of number of Belgian people there. Actually, it's time we got another of our Belgian correspondents on the case. Notice the way I've actually gone through the last 11 minutes with Natasha Armstrong without mentioning Exeter at all or any challenge that she might have had with respect to...
Oh, no!
I didn't get through it all after all. After all that excitement of going down to Twickenham and seeing the joys of being so close and yet so far away, Natasha.
Do you know what, though? It was the best Premiership final I have seen in years, so I will give them this one. and we'll come back and storm it next year.
Wasps will come back and storm it next year. The words of Natasha Armstrong when it comes to the spheroid ball. Or the lozenge-shaped ball in many ways, as opposed to spheroid. The lozenge-shaped ball. Were you following the rugby at all, Andy, or was it a case of, no, I just wanted to see that Arsene Wenger was OK?
Well, no, I usually follow the rugby, but in that case, I'm afraid I didn't. I follow the Rabo Pro 12 more than the...
Scarlets. These are the kind of ramifications that can carry on in so many different ways. Of course, in Belgium, if you're looking for a time check, it's now coming around to nearly 14 minutes past 7 o'clock. In the evening.
It is indeed.
Yep.
Is that dinner time?
We've got a whole hour to go. If not, it must be donut time, surely. I mean, we've already got the donut. Is that Berliner?
Or waffle time.
Oh, we've done all that for the last 30 minutes. Ha ha. Sorry. It's paid for. It's worked through. It's what the listener has come to expect from the Midweek Drive, I feel. And we don't want to disappoint them. Would you like to deliver those last two questions to Natasha Armstrong, please? Ben Lewis.
Natasha, have you enjoyed your Tenophon Olympus today on the show?
I have very much indeed, thank you, Ben.
And we'll be hearing from you again soon.
I'd like to hope so, yes, certainly Book Festival, if not before.
Yeah, you see, this is it.
Fabulous.
Natasha Armstrong, she will return. Yeah. Next week, of course, we have Malcolm Tomlinson is joining us, whose daughter Eleanor Tomlinson is in the excitement of Poldark. So, yeah, all sorts of other areas connected.
Oh!
So, yeah, Demelza. Anyway, life continues. Here's Nur and the Whale. do you know what's coming up at 7 o'clock on Siren FM this evening?
Oh.
It's Eclectic Pulse.
No,
it's all right.
I didn't know.
It's Lucia. She comes in every fortnight. She's doing all sorts of other bits and pieces. Anyway, she's on at 7 o'clock. But now, who will we be speaking to if we're really lucky and phone lines have connected together?
Mr. Graham
Harper. Mr. Graham Harper. How
That's
are you,
me.
Sir? Yay!
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Graham Harper Esquire. Graham Harper, awesome. Graham Harper, all of those things are weird. We have in the studio, Graham, Andy Kerr from Belfast.
Hello.
Ben Lewis.
Hello, Andy.
From Brighton.
Hello, Ben.
Hello, yep. Graham.
And as we said, Ben from Brighton, Andy from Belfast, I'm from the borough, you're an Arsenal fan. How does it feel now that Arsene Wenger has not decided to hand over the reins of the Gunners to your good self, Graham Harper, to sort out the lads and you can look forward to another 2 years? Is that a case of
Carry on. I'm a huge fan. My son, elder son, Eugene, has been a fan for most of his life. He thinks that Wenger should go, and I think that Wenger should stay because I think he's a stunning and very loyal manager.
Just how old is Jamie now? Are we talking about Jamie Harper here? How old is he?
No, we're talking about Eugene.
Eugene.
He's 51.
Eugene is 51. Oh, yeah, well, he's actually been there. He's actually twice as old as Arsene's been in charge of the club, really.
Yes, he's seen some changes, but he feels it's time for the old guy to go. But I think he's brilliant. We'll bring on maybe some more British players. Who knows?
You saw the FA Cup final. When I spoke to you on Sunday, you defined it as the best FA Cup final ever.
No, best match I've ever been to. I didn't go, but the best match I've ever seen. It was beautifully played, and I guess in the end, the right team won for me, but it could have gone either way. It was just a stunning match.
Yeah, all of this, plus, of course, Blackpool actually beating Exeter City to actually move into the first division of the Championship. And let's not forget Huddersfield, Patrick Stewart's team, he almost lost his voice, going up to the Premiership. So you can look forward to Huddersfield playing Arsenal. And there are so many jokes Brian. There, Graham, that I just don't even want to go there. It's amazing.
And Brighton.
And Brighton, of course. Yes, they're also in the Premiership. Who'd have thought it? We've got a couple of questions for you. Well, first of all, Graham, where are you this evening?
At this moment, I'm in the middle of Ealing shopping precinct.
Nice.
Because I had to go and get some glasses.
As
Where?
You do. Yeah. You know, it's
not a drink.
Yeah, you could use both, of course. You need to work through the whole sort of process. And we've had a kind of wine theme on the program. Mm. Wine, a sort of
alcoholic theme.
Exactly. Andy has been sharing with us tales of the best Belgian beer that you can actually work through.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did he bring any?
No, I'm afraid we're not letting in the studio. There's far too much sensitive equipment around us at this moment in time.
We are opposite a pub, though, so...
Sorry, Brent.
We are opposite a pub, though, so...
That is very true, yes. It's a matter of... We may well retire that. Yeah, exactly. It's very true. You've been to Lincoln, of course. Very good.
I'm afraid so.
But the questions we had from our Antwerp correspondent this evening, that's Natasha Armstrong. No. Who'd have thought back, 30 odd years ago when we first started doing these radio shows, Graham, that I'd once utter the words, a question from our Antwerp correspondent this evening, but, just proves it's all part of an illusion of life. Is any latest updates on what you're doing, and is there going to be any more Inside Number 9 directed by yourself?
No, well, I've just finished two episodes. They won't go out until the latter part of the year, I wouldn't have thought. It's superb. What a superb set of genius those two guys are. I did what they write and then now they play. It's just stunning. And at this moment, I'm not working, I'm not really actively looking for anything. And there are two films at the moment in the offing, which one of them is immediately like you to take off. Let's hope it does, and I'll go and do that.
Excellent. And good news, of course, from the positive world of our very own Darren Scales, independent filmmaker. Darren has a major four-page spread in Starburst magazine, which we'll be talking about next week, actually, with one of the Starburst correspondents. I think he sent you an email and CC'd me in to actually thank you, Graham, for all your support in terms of Darren Scales and Dark Wave and the whole Dark Wave universe and so on.
Yeah, we're keeping in contact because I have passed on the links to him and his movie to various people, and I'm sure one of them is going to do something, pick up on it and see where we go from there. But I don't think he will have to, I think he's going to take off anyway, whatever happens. So.
Well, as you know, we only select the best on the programme, Graham, so it's always very important to work through that. Now, we were speaking in the first part of the programme about the kufefe that has been made of Donald Trump's tweet and so on. Have you ever had any kufefes that you would like to sort of share with the world in terms of, well, what a kufefe that was then?
Well, I don't understand the word, sorry.
No, it's, neither does any of the Western world, really. I just set the scene. Because this was well, we were reminded of this by Arthur Weingarten, our San Diego correspondent. Would you like to just share the kufefe?
It's very hard to describe, isn't it? Really.
All right, think Donald Trump. Currently,
it was Donald. It was a tweet from Donald Trump last night, and it was pretty indescribable. Really, so talking about a kufefe.
He tweeted. He fell asleep halfway through a tweet, which was one supposes read, despite the negative media coverage, but he misspelled coverage as kufefe.
Yes.
And
then C-O-V-F-E-F-E.
All right.
Yes. Kufefe.
It could also, of course, be despite the negative media corvette. He was attempting. It could be despite the negative media carrot. And his thumb slipped.
Or confetti.
And confetti, yes.
Really?
Yeah. With reference to some sort of marriage between him and the general negative media.
Well, apparently the removal of his tweet could have broken the law. I don't quite know why, but that's what the Independent are actually saying.
So, it's the Independent, isn't it, really?
It's a bit of a kufefe, but still, never mind.
Let's hope it doesn't get into the Oxford Dictionary.
I'm sure it will.
I mean, at the end of the year.
These are words that will actually permeate the whole sort of consciousness.
It was an image.
Do you think there's going to be a Trumpism book like Bushisms?
Something I think it's already. I mean, a book, Graham, I think a set of encyclopedias will be actually sort of coming through. we're talking the whole sort of aspect here. I mean, the social media frenzy that was caused with this late night Twitter post is just amazing. In fact, according to Bede McGowan, he believes that kufefe, hashtag kufefe, could actually bring about world peace. Yay! You see, they've started in Ealing already, screaming out.
Yes.
They're having a bit of a kufefe there.
Grieving.
Yes. You've done it, Donny. We are united. Celebrate the joys of all sorts of things there. Andy, any questions for Graham?
Well, yes, absolutely. I have to admit, IDBM'd you after a quick Google.
Or even IMDB'd
him. IMDB'd, yes.
It's a kufefe.
That's a kufefe, right? And then I got geeky, like, scrolling through the list of credits, right? So I was going to ask you what it was like to work on Doctor Who in three different decades, but what I actually want to ask you is, what was it like to work on the detectives? Because I remember the detectives, and I missed the detectives. I thought it was hilarious.
You had Jesus and Jasper Carrot.
I know.
What can you say?
Isn't it?
Robert Powell, of course.
I've had a lot of different kinds of jobs, but there are probably six of my whole career that I really loved doing. Doctor Who was one of them, but there are several others, and one of them was the detectives, which I thought was delightful. The two actors were just stunningly good fun to work with, and it was just a fantastic collaboration. And I'm sure the previous director had the same collaboration. It was a joy. It was such a sadness when it stopped. But, you know, they wanted to stop, so it stopped.
Mm-hmm. These things happen that I remember very, very fondly.
They were funny. They were so delightfully funny and well written by Jasper Carrot. So there we are.
And probably not available on DVD as yet. Now that the BBC's online service has actually gone badly up, who knows? Well, they'll just be lost in space time. Well, maybe yes, the Doctor will rescue them.
You can always buy the stuff, can't you? I think if you know about it, you can buy it still.
Spoken like a true West End gangster. You know, you can always buy the stuff, can't you? If you know about it, you can buy it out there. It's all right, sorry. Yeah.
Did I say it like that? No, I said it in my best English, for God's sake, man.
And we know you were born in Scotland, Graham. Amazingly enough, Graham Harper is indeed Scottish. With a Cockney accent. Ben, any thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I was going to say, Graham, again, like Andy, I've gone and had a look through a lot of the work you've done over the years. And one question I want to ask is, if you could revive anything that you've done over the years, that's, you know, that's ended, or anything you haven't done since, what would it be and why?
Well, there are two. One is that, and I mean, I've made it very public because I've been asked many times what would be my favourite thing to do. I would love to have made a Western before I... Well, I did. I did Robin Hood, so that was the Western, really. But I would love... I really would have liked to have done more House of Elliot. I wish that had gone on for another couple of series because I found it so well written and beautifully performed and a great joy to work on. It was just another great treat, and it finished, I think, too early.
Fabulous.
And of course, one of the girls from House of Elliot went on to star in CSI, which is that's
oh, yeah,
exactly.
No.
Anyway,
it was good.
It was all wondrous stuff. In case you're wondering, the Harper family will take up residency in France for the duration of July. As otherwise they would have been joining us on one of our little excursions, but still life
we
continues.
Would have done.
Andy, would you like to put those last two questions to Graham Harper, please, before hopefully we connect with Phil Leonis, writer, director, co-producer of The Lady Killers, a film that, according to Mark Hershon from the Huffington Post, will certainly have people talking for a long while.
Graham, it's been lovely talking to you. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, thank you very much for that. Yes, I have, and I look forward to it again.
Well, there you go. Then you've answered my second question.
Oh, you silly people. I should have waited.
Graham Harper will return.
Yay!
Trouble, man, I'm sure gonna give 'em some. I believe old Dallas, man, is the meanest town I know. I believe that Dallas, man's the meanest town I know. Man, 'cause you ain't safe in Dallas. I don't care where you go. You know that I ain't evil, man, just having fun. So much shit in Texas, bound to step in song. Drive back to Dallas, take my river and my gun. Man, the people there looking for trouble, y'all gon' give 'em some.
Wondrous. Well, we had hoped of going straight to Phil Leonis, but sorry, there is a fault. Keeps coming up hearing on the line, which is not what you want at this particular time.
I'm sure it's not Phil's fault.
Sorry, there is a fault.
It's because he's in Dallas, isn't it? And not Los Angeles.
Well, best not say anything. That was Johnny Winter and Dallas. We will try another number because we never give up on these things. Because if we did, well, how could we actually face ourselves in the morning? That's the way you say it. You know.
Don't make eye contact.
No, exactly. We need to work on that process. A reminder, you're listening to The Midweek Drive, the last one of May 2017. Hopefully there'll be another one in May 2018. But for now, May 2017, it's the last Midweek Drive. And also the last Midweek Drive before we head into officially summertime. We are in summertime, but it's sort of so. Summer is effectively launched. That's one of the reasons why tomorrow morning, Georgia Lee Cleland, the head of Amazon's Now It's Summer store, is going to be joining us because apparently people don't believe it's summer in Britain until June the 4th. So just ahead of that, you know, June the 4th is the weekend where suddenly people say, it's summer now. So enjoy the spring.
Yeah, so it's not quite as good as May the 4th, however.
May the 4th be with you.
Exactly.
Somebody and you should set them free, so they say, but it sure is hard to do. Yeah, it sure is hard to do. And I know they say if they don't come back again, then it's meant to be, so they say, but those words don't pull me through, 'cause I'm still in love with you. I spend each day waiting for a miracle, but it's just you and me going through the mill, climbing up a hill. This is the long goodbye. Somebody tell me why two lovers in love can't make it. Just what kind of love keeps them breaking hard? No matter how hard we try, you're gonna make me cry. Come on, maybe it's over, let's face it. All that's happening here is a long goodbye. Long goodbye. Sometimes I ask my heart, do we really give our love a chance? Just one more chance. But I know without a doubt that we turn it inside out. And if we walked away, it would make more sense. Only self-defense, but it tears me up inside just to think we still could try. How long must we keep riding on a carousel, going round and round and never getting anywhere? On a wing and prayer, this is a long goodbye. Somebody tell me why two lovers in love can make it. Just what kind of love keeps breaking a heart? No matter how hard we try, you're gonna make me cry. Come on, baby, it's over, let's face it. All that's happening here is a long goodbye. This is a long goodbye. Somebody tell me long. All that's happening here is a long goodbye.
So the challenge was, could I, before Paul Brady came to the end of his long goodbye, actually upload and tag both Ben and Andy in their wonderful Midi Grand? Yes, there we are. You see,
yeah, Mr. Badger. Don't forget Mr. Badger.
And Phil Leonis is with us as well. Is he in Dallas? We don't know. Has he been listening to the show? We don't know, but we'll find out, won't we, Phil?
I am in the low country of South Carolina. I have made it almost entirely. We are miles away from St. Helena Island, so we will have made it all the way across these United States since our departure. We are going through old Revolutionary War roads. Celebrating, memorializing our great victory over you.
There you are. What a perfect way to actually share the joy on a program which has taken us from Winnie Murphy in Bramham, Anna Lewis in Jersey. Somebody's going to buy that saxophone or whatever instrument she's selling. Arthur Weingarten with that wonderful P.J. Clarke story about New York City. Natasha Armstrong, Antwerp, and, of course, the Belgian scenarios there, heading off to Berlin. Graham Harper with his updates, and then to Phil Leonis. Andy, it's been magical, hasn't it?
It has been absolutely magical. And I would like to say, Phil, that we did manage to at least set fire to the White House. It wasn't the same war. It was a little bit later, but we gave as good as we got.
Spoken as a true Irishman.
Oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, it's very important. Otherwise, we'd have another kufefe, wouldn't we, Phil? Anyway, I know there'll be so much of a kufefe on upcoming editions of Chill Pack Hollywood. It'll be too much of a kufefe to actually cope with. So, apart from the Trump scenario, Phil, I don't know if you've got any of those cultural references, but have you been sort of following the latest sort of Twitter surges or tweets that have been coming through as you indeed seize the opportunity to embed yourself in Americana?
Well, I have kept up a little bit. Obviously, kofefe, we're making kofefe great again here in this country. Our president's goodwill tour of Europe. And it's been interesting because I got together with Dean and his co-stars from The Lone Gunman in Dallas, and we did some shooting for part two of The Truth Is Out There. One of the big topics of discussion was the politicization of the truth. One of the things, whoop, did you hear that? Are you hearing that? My directions? Okay. One of the things that's really been occurring to me is how much debate needs to be left politically, removed politically, so we can just have the conversation right now about what is civil behavior. Can we all agree that there's certain kinds of civil behavior?
That's a fair point. I mean, it's like Washington would have said that at the end of the day, guys, there are certain kinds of civil behavior coming across here. Andy, would you say that's a fair axiom to start with?
Yes, absolutely. Let's all be civil to each other.
Ben?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Well, we're agreed in the studio.
Because so many of the, today, for example, had the news on a little bit, and the headlines were not about Russia. They were not about appalling behavior by the president on his trip in Europe or elsewhere. Or about tweets. A little bit was about kofefe, but mostly it was about comedian Kathy Griffin having a joke, I guess we could call it, that was ridiculously inappropriate and offensive to everybody. And what's so disappointing about it and so appalling about it is if you are of the majority of Americans that is seeking to resist what you see as destructive policies that the president desires to enact, you owe it to your fellow human being to maintain a modicum of decorum, to embody the kind of behavior you would like to see from your leaders. And if you don't, you allow yourself to become the sideshow that distracts from the conversations we need to have. It's not Republicans or conservatives who are changing the topic now. It's you through your own idiotic behavior. So that's where I'm at. And I'll finish the rant there. Let's talk about science fiction.
Well, you know, it's a way forward. And as we said on a program which had to reveal that, and Phil probably might have been singularly responsible for actually setting off the trigger factor, being a winner by nature, he realised that it's neck and neck for so long between Graham Harper, Camo and himself, the fact that Camo has decided to retire from the midweek drive for the foreseeable future.
Mm. What? Well, missed.
Yeah?
What? How did this happen?
I had to break the news, Phil, and I did in the first hour. I've done it again now. We will cope. You know, we will always remember him in his own way, but he felt...
Well, look, it's not done. It's not done until I say it's done. And make Covfefe great again. Remember
exactly.
That. That's the motto.
Exactly.
But I'm going to be passing through his neck of the woods in a couple of weeks, and maybe I need to take him aside and have a little pep talk.
Well,
a little come-to-Jesus talk with Camo.
I mean, Tessa is going to be beside herself. I mean, Lord knows, the co-host of Sound and Country Vision, Tessa Snart, Lord, I mean, she's currently breaking plates at a Greek wedding. So, you know, when she gets back, still never mind. We'll come.
Okay, first of all, does that mean he's retiring that show as well?
Well, yes, is the short answer. I can say no more other than tell it like it is. And that was the email that came through this morning.
Wow, you seem shaken up. I've never heard you say no in so few words. I mean, it's really...
Yeah. Donald Trump summed it up last
night. I expected the word scenario to be dropped at least once in explaining that, that yes, he was... but you know what else? Tessa can host a show all by herself.
Exactly, exactly.
She's ready.
Yeah, precisely.
She's ready.
She's got Trump on the other end of the line. ready for a bit of sound and country vision.
It'll work, I'm sure. The things we will head off.
I know nothing of country music, but I've driven through the South. So certainly I'm qualified to
co-host. Phil Leonis once again nails it, which brings us neatly around to the fact that, Andy, clearly I've now formally introduced you electronically through the virtual sense, and
yes,
you are the go-to person for Phil Leonis to hopefully sort out some kind of scenario which features the amazing stand-up talents of Dean Haglund in Lincoln.
Yes, very very much. So I look forward to meeting you both in person. I hope it all comes off. If Dean... needs a venue for his stand-up comedy, I would be happy to facilitate that eventuality. Just let me know when, and I will sort out the where.
Absolutely. Hopefully within the next week or so, we'll be able to come to terms on some sort of ideal dates. But he's very excited. When I told him, and I'm sorry, I did not respond yet to the email.
Oh, no, you're quite all right.
I understand
you're very busy.
You're doing these half-hour links on a Wednesday, Phil. You've got more to sort of focus on in terms of the rehearsals for this, let alone to deal with fan emails.
Oh, exactly. I mean, the hours of research I do to prepare my appearance on the midweek drive.
Exactly.
And that's just the weather reports that I'm not even delivering anymore.
Exactly. Gabriella was a little bit concerned, but she's coping. Again, she'll see us through tomorrow. Ben's going to see his parents tomorrow. That's the important thing. Not that he hasn't seen
them
before.
I did make it to Lincoln, New Mexico last week, and it was nothing like Lincoln in the UK. Nothing at all.
No Roman architecture, nothing like that.
You don't have the Romans in Lincoln, New Mexico. Probably a Spanish might have actually been there. Oh, well, never mind. For those people who wish to avail themselves of an hour of at least joyous culture vulture material, Chilpack Hollywood Hour number 524 has now been released with the strapline on the eve of hitting the road to beat up in Dallas. Your friends in podcasting got personal to discuss all the things they are looking forward to in the coming months. Forthcoming investigations into ghosts, UFOs, Civil War history, the Kennedy assassination, Gula culture, and forthcoming adventures, film festival screenings, art gallery showings and improv comedy venues in Los Angeles, the UK, the Pacific Northwest, and Melbourne, Australia all get previewed, as well as hopes and fears surrounding Blade Runner 2049.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you sort of feel, I can't get enough of the midweek drive, I want more sort of cultural material coming through there, check out chillpackhollywood.com. Shameless plug, but you deserve
it. Well, thank you for the plug, Alex. And as always, you frighten me a little bit with your prescience, because you introduced it to the culture vultures, and literally right before you called, all we've been talking about are actual vultures, because we have been encountering just an enormous amount of vultures on the road. And I don't know if you have vultures in the UK. I don't know, but these birds
metaphorical
are,
ones, lots
terrifying.
Of them.
They're terrifying.
Yeah.
They're terrifying birds. I mean, because you'll drive up on them and you'll think, oh, it's a black bird. It's just a little black bird. And then in what seems like minutes, like 5 minutes, they unwrap these enormous wings and become, I think, 6 feet tall. I think vultures are 6 feet tall. I'm not quite sure, but they're very, very big. So they go from little black birds to otherworldly figures. Mm.
Except, of course, in the jungle.
Stay away from the south is all I'm telling you, basically.
Yeah, sadly, we don't have any vultures in the UK. We have lots of hawks and eagles, Dr. Google is telling me. And The Guardian, some reporter for The Guardian, spotted one in May 2016. So just about a year ago, there was one, I guess, stranded or rather lost bearded vulture spotted in the UK. But I'm afraid we don't have any.
He was probably on a road trip.
He was on a road trip, yes.
He was checking out his European cousins.
He was taking his... what's that phrase that Americans have for whenever they do a tour of Europe before they go to college or just after they go to college?
What is that phrase?
What is that phrase?
When Europeans...
Americans come across to... is it a grand tour? Is that what they... Is it a grand tour?
That used to be the accepted phrase for British people, actually. When we had an empire, we'd do the grand tour.
Yes.
But I'm not sure about Americans. Spring break, perhaps.
I'll have a little...
We'll sort that out. Meanwhile, whilst we attempt to sort that one out, Phil, what number between 2 and 26 would your vulture friends like to go for today?
Let's go 3.14.
Ah, recurring. The pi number here. 20 seconds of sheer wonderment coming up for yourself, Lily, and, of course, the vultures, and our listener right now.
The thing that most forget while dreamily looking off into the horizon for the ship of their dreams is that such ships never sail in, but are actually built beneath their very feet. Oh, we owe the universe.
See, he was clearly talking vulture there with the oh, we owe number.
What is it that we owe the universe exactly? And when is the universe going to come to collect that?
Maybe the universe is already here. I see exactly what you did
there. You see what I did with that? Because it's the universe.
It's like the Volga Boat song developed in Mole.
I've been driving without sleep for 2 weeks. You can't expect the good stuff every time.
Ben is unable to find any reference at all.
Andy just found the grand tour, but he didn't.
No mention, so probably spring break is what we actually
call it. Yeah, spring break. I thought Phil might know, but...
He's been driving non-stop for 2 weeks and sorting out all manner of bits and pieces. We've got to let him go now. Presumably you're hands-free when you're communicating with us, Phil?
The car pretty much drives itself.
Perfect response to the drive time piece. That's pretty much it on the show is as well. Thanks to Ben Lewis and Andy Kerr and you. A reminder, tomorrow morning, briefly, Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, Richard Fitzwilliams, Dr. Anne Mullen. Phil, you'll enjoy this. Tomorrow, June the 1st, celebrate. It's World Milk Day. I'll say that again. It's World Milk Day tomorrow.
For all things milky.
Exactly. And we have got, from Team GB, Matt Lawson. We've got the Director of Nutrition at the Dairy Council, Dr. Anne Mullen. It's World Milk Day. I say it again. Phenomenal. It's also Georgia Lee Cleland's debut on the production. She's the head of Amazon's Now It's Summer store. William Sitwell might be with us, and Alan Stevens as well, as Ellie Sample from this very parish, the University of Lincoln, where she's Director of Communications. It's a phenomenal scenario. Drop by, Andy, if you're passing. You know, I know sometimes the morning show's a bit much, but feel free to drop in.
No, I'm off all day tomorrow, but I will try and listening.
There you go. Would you like to put those last two questions to Phil Leonis, please?
Phil, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening? Or
this morning? I've had fun. Of course I've had fun, and I would advise anyone who's too busy to be able to enjoy World Milk Day tomorrow, don't be sad, because as we always say, there's no point crying over spilt World Milk Day.
He's been waiting the whole time to get that one out, hasn't he?
That's the benefit of good rehearsals. You know, it works. The delivery, superb. Next question.
Phil, can we count on you to connect with us again in the future?
If you want, I mean, I guess with Camo leaving, I'm less likely to get fired.
Well,
so yes, I'll be back.
Phil Lynas will be back with us in a week's time, probably beforehand. I don't know.
Not tomorrow.
I don't know, Phil. I mean, are you in any way, shape, or form?
No, I'm on the East Coast, so won't that mean that it's like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning or something?
Slightly later or earlier, depending on how you look at it.
So 8 o'clock tomorrow morning would indeed be about 3 a.m.
It would be about 3 a.m. So if you have a late night tonight,
power nap.
Next week, though, on Wednesday, when I talk to you, I will be at the cradle of constitutional liberty, my first ever visit to Philadelphia.
That's going to be a magical moment.
You guys weren't excited about that. I thought that was, you got to get over the whole Revolutionary War. You really do have to.
No, you could talk about Rocky, or you could talk about the Yankees.
Run up those steps. You've even got the sort of the sound of Philadelphia. You've got the Philadelphia sound. And, of course, you've got that movie with Tom Hanks. You've got all sorts of things there. It's Philadelphia. Phil from Philadelphia. It's a city named after him. Phil Lynas will return. Thank you, dear listener. Andy, go okay show for yourself.
Say again, sorry?
An okay show for yourself?
I've really enjoyed it. I think it's been fantastic.
Ben?
Very good, thank you.
Marv, enjoy London.
Thank you.
Take care. Keep on keeping on. Remember, it's Lucia and a fantastic tune and a hectic range of tune. It's Eclectic Pulse coming up in a matter of 7 or 8 minutes from now. Phil Lynas, it's time for you to join us in that final farewell. Be seeing you way a one, a two, a three.
Be seeing you.
Be seeing you.